Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, who joins us weekly. The films are Unsane and Isle of Dogs, which could just be the Unsane Isle of Dogs. Hello, David. How are you?
It could be the Isle of Unsane Dogs, but we're not dealing with one film. We're dealing with two films. And thank you. I'm fine. So we have two films this week, which are just out now, and they are by a couple of people who are really kind of mainstays of the independent, the indie film scene. First film is by Steven Soderbergh. Second film, Isle of Dogs, is by Wes Anderson. And therefore, because they're by these filmmakers, they have been eagerly awaited by a lot of people who are interested in independent film or just in film. And they're both pretty good movies in their own ways, although I sort of have reservations about both of them, but yeah, pretty good movies. So let us begin with Unsane. This is by Steven Soderbergh, and Steven Soderbergh really, really, really helped to launch the whole wave of what we now call indie cinema with Sex, Lies, and Videotapes way back in 1989. And since then, he has made some very major films or popular films like Erin Brockovich and Traffic, and his very best film is a movie called The Informant, which came out in 2009. A lot of other movies, and he's made a whole lot of very minor movies, too, that have been largely forgotten. In my opinion, Soderbergh's greatest talent lies in serial television, and that is because he did a miniseries called K Street back in the early 2000s about Washington, D.C. lobbyists, which I think is absolutely marvelous, really funny and lively and energetic, and I probably like it better than any of his movies, even though some of his movies I like enormously. And then just a few years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, he did a series called The Nick, which was about a New York hospital sometime around the turn of the 20th century, and it was really, really good. And right just recently, in fact, as recently as this year, he did a series called Mosaic, which is a kind of a murder mystery series starring Sharon Stone and various other people. And it's just really good. And it's very, very new. And it's very, very easily available, an HBO series, again, called Mosaic. And I really, really think it's good. And I just think that, you know, even though he's made a few really excellent films and a lot of interesting films, I think that Soderbergh has done his best work in TV. And that bespeaks, I think, a talent that he has for kind of long-form storytelling. So Unsane goes in another direction, namely it's a movie, and it's not a particularly long movie at that. It's, you know, a little over an hour and a half, and it's very much a horror movie. And it's kind of interesting that Soderbergh announced his retirement from movie directing some years ago. And just like Ingmar Bergman, who I always compare him with, who retired from movie making and then proceeded to make all kinds of television things, which were shown, some of them theatrically in America and so forth. He kept very, very busy as a writer-director. So Soderbergh, who announced his retirement from filmmaking, has done these TV things, which aren't exactly movies, okay, but, you know, same diff. And now Unsane, which is a movie and a theatrical movie, and it's playing in movie theaters right now, but he shot it on the iPhone. So this is not a first. Among other things, a very terrific movie just a few years ago called Tangerine was shot by a different filmmaker with an iPhone or iPhones, and was really, really beautiful looking film. And so Unsane is a really nice looking film, very, very atmospherically photographed. Interestingly, Soderbergh always photographs his own work under the pseudonym Peter Andrews. And so he has made this movie with the iPhone. And again, it's a terrific looking movie, and it has that kind of spontaneity and kind of urgency and immediacy that iPhone shooting can give you. And it's a pretty good horror movie. I like horror movies. I know, Jill, that you feel there is enough horror in the world as it is without horror movies adding to our tsuris and troubles. But I like horror movies, and this is a pretty good one. So, Claire Foy plays a young woman whose name is Sawyer Valentini, who at the beginning of the film seeks out a therapist because she has been traumatized by some experiences with a stalker. She used to live in Boston, where this stalker, this guy who she met, fell in love with her and wouldn't leave her alone and was always around and always texting her and always calling her and always sending her flowers and this and that. And eventually she got a restraining order against the guy, and that didn't work. So she has now moved to another state. She's now in Pennsylvania, but she still can't get over the real terror that she felt from having just this guy who seemed like an ordinary enough guy. He was just a stalker. This guy always after her. So she moved away, but she is still troubled and tormented by this experience, so she seeks out a therapist. Well, this is not a spoiler because it's all the very beginning of the movie. The next thing you know, the therapist asks her a couple of leading questions, and she gets committed to a mental institution on the grounds that she is a danger to herself and or others. So now she's in this place, and the next thing you know, some people treat her so badly there that she kind of lashes out against a couple of them, and now they can hold her for not just 24 hours, but a whole week. She wants to get out of that joint where there's a lot of people who are, to use the movie's title, sort of insane. There's also a very, very, very nice man who befriends her and sort of plots with her on ways in which she might be able to get out in some legitimate way. And the movie goes on from there, and it gets into all kinds of horrible stuff. One really extreme coincidence, which I think makes the whole thing kind of implausible. And in fact, I felt it was sort of implausible that this intelligent, professionally capable young woman would not get out of that place just before they managed to involuntarily incarcerate her. In other words, I felt that the setup for the movie was somewhat improbable, and the great big coincidence that sort of drives the plot after that, I felt was extremely improbable. So those are my main reservations about the movie. But it's a very, very nicely done movie, beautifully acted. Again, Claire Foy as Sawyer Valentini, also Joshua Leonard as a guy in the institution who may or may not be connected with her former Boston experiences, and the various others. A very, very nicely acted movie, a well-directed, lively movie by Steven Soderbergh. So if you like horror movies, if you like thrillers, if you like movies about people in danger, then Unsane is a good choice for you. But actually, I would recommend seeing Mosaic, which is one of the best acted TV things I've seen in ages. I'll mention a few of the people who are in it. Garrett Hedlund, Devin Rattray, Frederick Weller. I already mentioned Sharon Stone. Paul Rubens! I mean, he's still around and he's still doing wonderful work, is in it. Remember the old Pee-wee Herman? Beau Bridges is still around and is very good in that. So I would recommend catch out Mosaic. You can really see it very easily nowadays. It's streaming all over the place. Or go to the movies and see Unsane. Again, pretty good horror movie. Now we come to our other film, Isle of Dogs. Jill, I know that you have a soft spot, more than a soft spot, a soft continent for dogs. And I too.
It's about that great... big. And as a matter of fact, I believe you have a dog who's going to help you with this review.
Well, could you hear my French bulldog snorting in the background?
Absolutely, and I knew exactly what that was.
I wasn't sure whether you could hear him or not. But anyway, I apologize to all of our listeners. That is Oliver, our much-beloved French bulldog here in my household. And I'm looking after him today because Makita is in New York for the day. And he is sitting right next to me, as he tends to do, but looking directly at the door through which several hours later Makita will return. In any case, he did not see Isle of Dogs because he, for some reason, doesn't like movies. But I saw Isle of Dogs, and I am now here to report on it. So Isle of Dogs is the new movie by Wes Anderson, a very, very major indie filmmaker who makes little movies. He makes sort of low-budgety kind of movies, very much according to his own sensibility. And Isle of Dogs is his second animated film. It's a stop-motion animation. A few years ago, he did one called Fantastic Mr. Fox, based on a famous children's book. And I actually think that's probably, I'm not a big Wes Anderson admirer. I think Fantastic Mr. Fox is probably his very best movie, even though it's atypical because it is an animation. Now he has returned to the animation format with Isle of Dogs, and the premise is that we are in Japan in this movie, and a couple of epidemics have raged through the dog population of Japan. It actually takes place mainly in a Japanese city, a fictional one called Megasaki. And these epidemics are there's a dog flu is going all around, and I love this one. I don't love it, but it has a funny name. Snout fever is all. Maybe that's why Oliver is snorting so loud.
Snout fever.
Then again, he always snores loudly, so that's another story. So anyway, the mayor of Megasaki is a very, very bad, nasty, hard-nosed kind of a guy, and he declares that all the dogs of the city has to be banished to this island off the coast. And it's called Trash Island, but it now becomes the Isle of Dogs. And so you have all these dogs who are exiled there, and of course their own society, their own culture, their own community starts up there. And so that is the premise of the movie. And some of the movie takes place in Megasaki, but the movie, most of it takes place on what becomes called the Isle of Dogs, where we have all of these dogs of different types. Some of them are very hoity-toity purebreds. Some of them are strays. They're sort of lowest in the social ladder on the Isle of Dogs. And then most of them are sort of somewhere in between. And they all have backgrounds and histories which they share with each other, and we learn about them. And, you know, are they ever going to get off of there? Are they really going to want to get off of there? What's going to become of all these dogs? What's going to become of that nasty mare back in Megasaki? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Isle of Dogs has become a very controversial movie, even though it's been out for a very, very short time, because of certain things that, you know, people are very concerned about nowadays, and when we think about the social and cultural context of movies and other works of culture and popular culture. It has been called cultural appropriation. Wes Anderson, after all, is not a Japanese filmmaker. He is not Japanese at all. He doesn't really appear to have much deep knowledge of Japan. And here he has made a movie which takes place in and just off the coast of Japan, has a lot of Japanese characters, etc. More interestingly problematic than that, I think, is the fact that the character who sort of in the end does the most to save the day for various characters is a Westerner. So why would it be that a Westerner in this day and age, when we sort of understand that the old movies were always very, very prejudiced in favor of the West against the East, why is it that in this day and age a filmmaker would have a Westerner, a Western young woman, a non-Asian young woman, be a sort of, you know, an extremely, she's a human character, by the way, be so totally involved in saving the day as this movie winds toward its conclusion? Moreover, interestingly, Wes Anderson has chosen to, in most cases, not subtitle or translate what his Japanese characters are saying, whereas the dogs all speak in perfect English. So this is also rather odd, as one critic put it before I got working thinking about this movie, before I had seen it. Why is it that the Japanese characters are allowed to talk, but they're not really allowed to speak? Because a lot of the time, in fact, I think most of the time, we can't even tell what they're saying. We have just have to surmise it from their gestures and their facial expressions and their tones of voices. So these are sort of problems. I myself don't regard myself as just thinking about nothing but, is it cultural appropriation when I eat spaghetti and meatballs? But, you know, this movie does seem to be rather careless in that department. Okay, beyond that, it's a very entertaining movie, fun to watch, beautiful animation. Wes Anderson is a fuss budget. He makes his movies really, really precisely according to this vision he has in his head. And with animation, he can really, really do that. He can just control everything, and he loves to do that. So it's a very controlled, and I would say, in fact, a rather fussy movie in that respect. I think that Wes Anderson's movies tend to be too fussy, and I also think that his movies tend to be sort of cluttered. They're full of bric-a-brac. They're too cute. They're too precious. They're kind of too, they're always begging you to recognize how adorable they are. And I think Isle of Dogs is pretty egregious in that respect. That bothered me throughout. That said, the acting is, you know, the voice acting is just fine. You got all kinds of people, Bryan Cranston, Bob Balaban, Bill Murray, Edward Norton, Greta Gerwig, of course, who's in everything nowadays, Scarlett Johansson, Yoko Ono shows up a little bit as one of the voices. So it has a wonderful voice cast, even though it's a bit distracting to be saying, now, who is that voice? Gee, I almost recognize that. That's sort of a distraction watching the movie, but it's a very nicely voice acted movie. And again, the animation is meticulous, beautifully done, if a bit too fussy. So I give a qualified yes to Isle of Dogs. I enjoyed it, but I would have enjoyed it a lot more if I felt it were a little bit more liberated in its own spirit and not quite so tied up in being so fussily cinematic that it doesn't have time to really live and breathe the way a really excellent movie and a really excellent animation tends to do. So that is my somewhat unsane island-bound story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Unsane and Isle of Dogs.